Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Joe Hayes, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brendan. Thank you.
Good Joe, you had an illustrious career as a diplomat. You were the ambassador to China, Denmark, Iceland, Ukraine. You worked in lots of other countries. Then you were chair of the National Council for Special Education. But you are here today as Joe Hayes, a dad. And you gave a speech recently to school leaders and apparently you electrified the place, best speaker they ever had. And you spoke there as well as Joe Hayes, a dad. So your daughter, Evan, she's 33 now?
Yeah, she is.
And tell us about Evan. She was born, as they say, perfect. When did you start noticing something not right?
Well, it's a long time ago now, Brendan, but she was born in March of 1989, our fourth child. Two sisters and a slightly older brother, James, who was five. And sure, she was perfect. I mean, lovely. We were, you know, it was a source of great joy. And my wife, it's the mothers who spot the... She spotted these slight imperceptible tremors. Sure, I couldn't. I couldn't see anything wrong. The GP couldn't either. But he said to me, "Look, you know, I've learned in my career to listen to what the mother says, and if she sees something wrong, let's go and get the little one looked at by a paediatric neurologist." I didn't even know what these people were, and we took her to the National Children's Hospital in Harcourt Street. It's gone, long gone now from there, but the same day that we got the news, the diagnosis, was that I got promoted. I'll never forget it. It was something I'd worked for, you know. It was an important promotion, and I'd ordered in the drink to celebrate with the team. And we were going on our holidays the following day with the kids. We had the old car packed and the three were sitting at home. And there was Ivan in the National Children's Hospital to get her diagnosis. They did a CAT scan on her brain. But sure, none of us were paying too much heed to it. She looked fine. And in I went. I got the phone call as I was laying out the wine for the celebration to call in to see Professor Niall O'Donoghue. He's long dead now, Niall, but a marvellous, if somewhat irascible man. He had no time for idiots. And he always had a belief, I think, that the mothers carried the burden and the fathers had to man up and learn to support the family when bad news came, as it did. So I went in slightly irritated that I'm being called out of the bloody office on this day up to the Hill Children's Hospital in Harcourt Street. And I went in and I said to him, "Look, at you know, Professor, I've just been promoted, you know, a very important promotion."
All these important things, yeah.
These things that matter. and we're going on the holidays. And he said, "Will you please sit down and listen to what I have to tell you? Your life has changed on this day. It will never be the same again." And he told us that Ivan had a thing called West syndrome. I never heard of it. Never heard of it. It's a form of infantile epilepsy, I guess. And jippers, I mean. And that's what I was trying to say in the speech to the principals in the schools. For parents, we always hear about the child, you know. Yeah. But I tell you, it's catastrophic. You can think, you can prepare for everything. You know, you lose the job. If you're in the civil service, that, you know, you'll say something to the minister and you'll be sent off in foreign affairs to some god-awful place.
Yeah.
You lose your money. You'll fall out with the wife and you'll be separated. You don't think about having a child with a disability. Yeah.
I think a lot of us probably looking back on our reactions feel a bit guilty, don't we? I remember when my second daughter was born, I went outside at Hollis Street and rang my brother in America and I said, "My life is ruined."
See?
And it wasn't, but... Yeah.
But that's the way it feels. I went home she was taken into hospital immediately, and I went home to break the bad news about the holiday to the three siblings. And her brother was five. And with the wisdom and perhaps selfishness of a five-year-old, he said, I said, we're not going to France. We're not going camping. You know, that's just it. He said, Dad, could we give her back? And it was his five-year-old reaction to him. The holiday was gone, and his little sister was responsible for it. Yeah.
What were you given an outlook? They often kind of have the crude parameters they'll give you, or she will walk or not talk or not live an independent life or not. Did they give you a picture at that stage of what you might expect?
Bad news all round. He warned me, you know, he said, don't you, this was all addressed to me. You know, he had great faith in Deirdre's ability to deal with this.
Yeah.
He said, don't go reading books. I mean, it was before the internet, a long time ago, but you don't need to know the outcomes. But of course, we discovered the likelihood of her walking, talking, being independent, looking after her needs were unlikely. This was an awful, awful bloody news, you know. And he kept saying to me, I wanted someone to blame, you know.
Mm.
And he kept saying to me, it's idiopathic. It's idiopathic. I never heard of the damn word. It means no known cause. And we couldn't even get cross. I wanted to be cross with someone.
Yeah.
Couldn't get cross with anyone, you know. Yeah. I never forget it, that's for sure.
Yeah. So how do you move on then from that?
With difficulty.
Yeah.
You see, in the job, you know, I love my job. I really did, you know. What do you do? Where are we going to go with a child as ill as this, you know? So the first place, I was posted to London, you know, it was a super, super posting. I mean, this was at a time, you know, that the troubles in the north were at their worst. The embassy in London played a key part in sort of reaching out to the Conservative Party. And that was the job, super job. But it didn't matter. No one wanted to hear about my job. I mean, it was a van. You know, what were we going to do with the van?
Yeah.
So we went to England at the time, Thatcher, the height of Thatcherism.
All right, so there was no such thing as society.
Ugh.
Yeah.
There was, I mean, and lo and behold, and this I learned, even at the height of Thatcherism, we found supports for a van. And I learned, be careful the judgments you rush to, you know, that she was well looked after in Thatcher's England, and that's the mark of a civilized society, caring for your most vulnerable. So
you went to China as well, which sounds fairly daunting.
That was later. Yeah, we went to China. People said to me, "You cannot take an intellectually disabled child to China." But
so China, what would have been the attitude in China to disability?
Well, we thought, I mean, someone said to me in Mandarin, there isn't even a word to describe the circumstances of your daughter. But I discovered Deng Xiaoping's eldest son, Deng Pufang, had been thrown off a high building during the height of the old Cultural Revolution. And he was disabled, physically disabled. So there was... even at the national level, an awareness. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can't beat someone who's had it at their own doorstep like that, which changes everything.
It changes everything.
It changes
the
whole politics of a country, yeah.
It does indeed, yeah.
And Ivan went missing the first day in China, did she?
We were in China a very short time, and Deirdre, my wife, had to go home for another reason, so I was in charge. And I mean, really relishing, you know, being the ambassador. And one Sunday morning, she vanished. Literally, we the embassy in China, at least back then, had it was in a compound, the big wall around it, and a guy at the gate, a policeman at the gate, keeping an eye, not letting in Chinese, really. That's what he was doing. But we were, you know, and it was a big compound. There was room, and Ivan used to cycle around on a little tricycle. And what did she do? Out the gate, she cycled. And off into the city of 8 million people.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Man. I tell you, I thought, how will I phone? My worry was, I'll have to phone home and tell herself that I've lost Ivan. I mean, yeah, that was a bad one.
Yeah. Did you find her? Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Thank God.
Where was she?
She had wandered off into, there was a local market, an open-air market, and she was found sitting on a three-legged stool with a cobbler a Chinese cobbler who was mending shoes.
Yeah.
And he gave her green Chinese tea and she sat there and was very happy.
You see, she's a survivor, obviously. She lands on her feet.
It is, yeah.
What effect does it have on the family?
Ah, sure. You know, with the family, that's a tough one. You know, how do you... She's the priority. You know, yeah. you love all your kids. Of course you do. But she... And she's a forever child. She never... All the other landmarks, the others pass them. You know, they go to school. They you know, do the inter-cert and the leaving cert. You sort of... That was the other thing, the sadness that Ivan...
Every time, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and even socialising, the parties. We had great neighbours. We still have great neighbours. But you couldn't... Ivan wasn't asked to things. You know, it was... No, but it was just... That's the way it was, you know. Yeah. And
would she be aware...
She yes, yeah. Yeah. She her level of dis, as the years pass, she actually surprised. I mean, she can cycle a bicycle, bless yeah. us and save us. This was a girl who we were told would never walk, you know.
Yeah,
and she is aware of. I told her this morning. I said, I'm going on the radio. She said, "Will there be music?" I said, "No." So, yeah. Yeah,
but it's hard so to see as the other kids start developing too and everything and they go
yes,
off and,
yes.
and yeah.
And
yeah.
as you get older, that's the one yeah. I find now. You know, I'm long retired in my 70s and you worry. You're always her voice and you worry. What does the future hold for her? That's the other, that's the you know, they're, when you talk to people in similar circumstances and they're, as they get older, the anxiety comes back again. What will happen when we're not there? Yeah. That's
yeah.
It. But
and what will happen?
Oh, what? Listen, hey, if I'm in charge today, if I get her fed and delivered back, she's in a Camp Hill community, and so she comes home every second weekend, the holidays and all of that. But she has her own life. And I have to respect that too. And that's the new thing in Ireland, you know, where you have to, you can't, you can be her father, but you can't lay down, legislate for, you know, the decisions she makes. We now have this Assisted Decision-Making Act came into force back a year or two ago. That's a big one. Gives the right of people with intellectual disability the right to make their own decisions.
And am I sensing, is it a difficult one for you to get your head around that? Yeah,
of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Because you know what was best for Ivan.
Well,
her life
of course we do. And all parents think that. But you can't, you know, you get it wrong. And people are entitled to make bad decisions.
This is it, you see, yeah. Are they, yeah? Even if the parents know better, yeah?
You said it, you put your finger on the vulnerability of it.
Yeah.
Parents think they know better, but you can't rob. I mean, Ivan is 33, you know, and there's loads of stuff that irritates the hell out of me. I think she can't do that. But it's her choice. It's her life, you know. And
I'm sure a few of the other kids made bad decisions along the way.
Well, we often talk about those.
Yeah. What's the effect on them then? You touched on that thing of like that there is no avoiding in a way. As much as you might try not to do it, that a lot of the energy of the family starts revolving around one person. Yeah. And it is unfair on the others, but it can, I don't know, I think it can also make good people of them.
It can. They are the ones who, it makes them aware of good fortune. You know, a healthy child. It the fact that they have a sister who is intellectually disabled. It teaches, it's a lesson, you know. It's important. It's important for everyone to understand that. So, you know, they, in an ideal world, Ivan would have been. This wouldn't have happened. But we've done. It's tough to share love. You know, love is a limited. No matter what you say or what words. Ivan got the core of attention and support, but did the kids no harm, you know? They had to live in a world where, in a family where there was a priority person, and that was Ivan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose you would try as well not to say to him, this is not your responsibility and all that. Yeah.
Very important. Yeah. That you don't burden as you get older. That you don't sort of make it clear. Well, look now, when we're not there, you guys have to step up. They will step up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't legislate for that. They have to make that decision. It's their moral decision. It's theirs. Yeah.
What impact did it have on you as a person?
Oh God, look at me. To go home.
You seem to be all right.
I cooked supper. Oh, sure. Look, you know, I didn't. I was upset at the. I saw when she was born, I thought, you know, we called her Ivan. And I remember the name. I called her with Ivan Boland, you know, the poet, wonderful poet, whose father had worked in the Department of Foreign Affairs, Freddie Boland. And I thought Ivan would be, you know, creative, maybe a poet. I had such high hopes for her. And those hopes. I was sad for that. I've always been sad about that, you know.
Do you still think about the person she might have been, yeah?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And you have to stop that. There's no point, no way at all. I take great heart now from the stuff. She's very funny. You know, a couple of years back, I was in Denmark and we had a dinner party, and it wasn't, oh God, the guests. We had a couple of ministers and ambassadors, and they really was a scarcity of conviviality that evening, no matter how much.
Okay.
And it was Ivan's 18th birthday, and I had her put in the kitchen. I said, you're here. She was here on holiday. Do not come into the dining room, important people. And just when I was giving up hope of the bloody dinner party ever taken off, in she marched from the kitchen and said, I am 18, which she was that day.
Yeah.
And it worked like a torch. A woman said, well, today it's my wedding anniversary. And so, and you know, she brought joy. And yeah, that's the good side. Those are the memories worth treasuring. Yeah.
Yeah. You've used the word important about people and things and all the things that were important to you in your old life before the day you had that conversation with the doctor and everything.
Mm.
Does it change your view of what's important? Even when you talk about the other kids and the milestones and everything else, do you not find they don't seem as important?
They don't.
It changes your perspective on things a bit, yeah. No?
You remember, you know, you think, well, the postings, the promotions didn't matter quite as much.
Yeah.
But she managed to cycle a bike, and we went together, my wife and I, and we brought her on the Greenway down in Waterford, and she cycled the whole bloody thing from beginning to end. That's what you sort of think, that matters. That's important. Other stuff, yeah, of course it does.
Yeah, yeah. And you were a very important person. It's interesting to have this conversation, because I think we do hear from parents, but a lot of the time, as you say, we hear from very harried young mothers, parents, about trying to access services and all that kind of thing. But I suppose this is the more kind of mature perspective on the whole thing. So how are we doing for people like Ivan in Ireland?
Way, way, way better than we were. When Ivan was little, I trudged the streets looking for school places for her, for supports. Not in an angry way, just trying to. And they weren't.
What was it like back then? Was it
bad?
Yeah.
That's for sure. But I can tell you now, and credit is due, you know, we often do. Successive governments have done amazing things. Ireland has matured as a society. People, look, we've just signed, we have ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. Every bus you take, you'll see it there, reminding us that.
Yeah, not necessarily the follow through there in terms of like getting needs met and everything.
Exactly. Of course there are gaps, but we have come in a short time. And, you know, the public servants, there is in the Department of Education, I mean, I'm giving them a shout out, I guess, but by God, they deserve it. A unit that deals with special needs, led by a formidable woman, I tell you. And we have a minister, the government, and this is what's saying. We now have a minister with a responsibility for special education. Josepha Madigan. That's a big thing, a big gesture, and important. Yeah. It may be just symbolic. It's more than symbolic, but it's important.
So like that. So 33 years ago.
Yeah.
Very different country. Like, was there any conversation around these kind of things? Did you know anybody else? Was it kind of something that was, were people like Ivan were kind of behind closed doors? Really, when I was a kid, they were off there.
And you were the one, you know, trying to get to see the principal of a school and saying, look, any chance a place could be found? And Ivan got put out of one school because she was tapping her foot. You know, the teachers didn't know. You know, they had to try and run classes with someone like Ivan, where other kids were being held back. That was the perception. That was the, things were not good back then. But by gosh, they have improved. I mean, there's more to do, way more to do.
And tell me, is she a happy person?
Oh, I thought maybe I'd bring her along with me. Yeah, this is a happy, contented. More could have been done. You know, that is one area we really need to look at. What happens when school is over?
Yeah.
You know, Ivan, I think... Had we, you know, I don't know, more paid more attention to it, but she might have developed a fuller life. We focus on the primary school level, on the secondary level, but at the third level, at what happens after that, the capacity to lead an independent life,
and for her to feel useful.
Yes, she needs that's a very important. Yes, to feel. You know, there's different levels of disability, of intellectual disability, but we can really learn from that. They're the measure of the society that we have, you know. They're our own barometers of progress and change and equality, the things that matter, that make life worthwhile for all of us.
Yeah. And they're not less than us, like, they're different.
Oh, they're just different. Absolutely.
Perspective on things. If you could do one thing now, everything you've learned from being a parent and from your time in the National Council for Special Education, you must have a few ideas. Is the third level? Is the third level the after secondary?
To focus on the older and the kids.
And I think it's starting to happen a bit. People are setting up great programs whereby they get work experience and you know, stuff like catering, barista, all that kind of thing. I think employers are getting better,
and employers need to maybe do a bit more. You know, there was a lady on the radio during the week, who's an autistic son with a degree, but he was tripping up at the interview stage. So there is something there, for example, a lesson for everyone.
There's a text here. I was privileged to be one of the school leaders to witness the amazing delivery by Joe about Ivan. It is important for all educators to hear the parents' point of view. Joe's story has had a profound influence on me, will stay with me for the rest of my career, and will positively affect the lives of those students with extra needs that I am responsible for. That is from Roisin. Doctors and teachers and everything do want to hear from us now, don't they? They want to talk to the parents and say, how could we have handle the diagnosis day better? How could we have, you know, all of that, which is good too, isn't it?
Oh, that's great that they want to listen, the professionals, that's really nice. It's really very moving to hear that.
Because if you think that diagnosis day, that's probably the most profound moment in your life.
It was, pivotal. Yeah. Yeah. Pivotal, transformative moment, you know, life changed.
So they need the more they know about how they might deliver that kind of news to people, because I think some people get that news in a very slapdash, unplanned kind of manner, and it can be.
Yeah.
So look, Joe, thank you for all that. I know that it's never easy coming in parading your private business and everything. There's lots of people shouldn't have to do it anymore. But I think that was a really, really probably enlightening in a very different way from a lot of the conversations we hear from parents and everything else, and a lot of food for thought there. So fundamentally right now, is the overriding anxiety you have around Ivan, is that anxiety about the future, is it?
The future, I suppose, yeah. Well, we'll manage that, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. You've obviously managed everything so far, so no doubt you will. Joe Hayes, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.